This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. On today's show, exploring your family history and a preview of a conference for LGBTQ youth in Greater Cincinnati. First up, the Beyond Civility Project allows people to explore the barriers and bridges to effective dialogue. Next Wednesday, Beyond Civility will present the panel discussion, Can We Heal the Divide? The Role of Government, which will address our divided society. And joining us to discuss the erosion of civil discourse in an increasingly polarized America and how to bring people together to discuss different viewpoints in a meaningful and constructive way are Hamilton County Municipal Court Judge Fannin Rucker, Beyond Civility moderator Patty Foster, and attorney Greg Adams, partner with Croswell & Adams. You can join us at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Patty, Judge Rucker, Greg, thank you all for joining us this afternoon. Much appreciated.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Obviously, we're extremely divided. I'm just wondering what each of you are seeing. How big is this divide? What kind of shape is civil discourse in these days? Patty, why don't we start with your observations?
Well, my observations are pretty bleak, unfortunately, but that's why Beyond Civility arose. It seems as if we are not just unable to hear and believe each other, we're unable to have a conversation that even puts us in the same arena or discussing the same topic in any kind of a constructive way. I think it's a function of the number of media channels we have that are trafficking in fear and anger and superlatives. It's a function of maybe just where we're all feeling in terms of our own security, our own prosperity. But it seems as though the discourse is the thing that's been a victim of all of that, and it's really suffered.
Mm-hmm. Judge Rucker.
Sure. One of the things that was just mentioned that I think is one of the most important is that we have so many avenues of information. And because we have so many avenues and really little requirement that the information is verified, everyone gives their opinion. And when people give their opinion and they know that they're right, someone else has to know that they're right and has to respond to it. And the vitriol is raised. I see that all the time. I do have a pretty heavy presence on social media. I'm still in Facebook and Twitter and all those places. And it's so hateful. It's so angry and it's so common that it's very disturbing.
Has it maybe gotten a little too easy to express someone's vitriol and they can do it anonymously these days if they want to?
Do it anonymously and they can do it with the tap of a thumb in 2 seconds.
Greg, what are your observations?
This is obviously a big problem. And one of the experts in this field is a psychologist by the name of Jonathan Haidt, an individual that Beyond Civility has a lot of respect for. And he's written several books and spoken all over the country. And he tries to identify what is really going on. And one of the big things that he points to is this idea of tribalism, which is a fundamental psychological trait that we all have. We all want to belong to groups. We all want to belong to something.
And is it an us and them mentality, or is it beyond that?
That's what happens. So it's Ohio State versus Michigan. It's Republicans versus Democrats. It's the left versus the right. And what happens in this concept of tribalism, what's been going on, if you listen to what Haidt has to say, is that people have become really members of a single group and a single voice, and they're not willing to listen to the voices from the other group. And that's a large part of what's going on. So there's a lot more to it, and we could talk for hours about the reasons. But that's one of the things that Haidt points to as being one of the reasons why this goes on.
Mm-hmm. Judge, is this the worst we've ever seen it, or have there been worse periods in history?
Well, it's interesting when we talk about history, we can only deal in or relate most specifically with the now, because that's what we live in. But we can look at historic events and historic battles that have occurred and really try to place ourselves in how the people at the time must have been feeling. I have taught a history course at the University of Cincinnati, particularly as it pertains to the development of the law and politics. And one of the things that we know in the history of politics is that there have been periods of time in our country where the diametrically opposed positions of the parties have led to oh, I don't know, big battles, some pretty bad media reports. I think even a duel at one point between two people who had high offices. And so is it the worst it's ever been? I don't know. I know it feels pretty bad right now, but I have to guess in 1800 and in 1852 and in 1865 and in 1793 that it was pretty bad for those folks living at that time, too.
Yeah, that duel between Hamilton and Burr was pretty uncivil. Yeah. Greg, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think
to Judge Rucker's point, I mean, we fought a civil war. That's probably as bad as divided as we've ever been. So I don't know that you can – I don't know how you can compare the atmosphere today to that period of time. But there's no question that at this point in time, there is a significant level of an inability to have a civil discourse about the politics.
I think, Patty, it goes back to what you were saying. There are just more avenues today.
Definitely more avenues. And I also believe in the tribalism that Greg referenced and that Jonathan Haidt talks about. I think that tribalism ebbs and flows to some degree in human nature. And we are talking, for instance, coming up on the 27th at our panel with Beyond Civility about this notion of big government versus small government. That's just one of the things that people disagree on, but they disagree vehemently at the moment. When you think that big government is really code for how far do we extend society's protections and privileges? Do we extend it just to people who live near me or who speak my language or who look like me or to our nation's boundaries? Or how far do we extend that? It kind of goes back to that idea of tribalism. I think that is on the rise these days. I would say probably a function of those social media outlets and all of the other media outlets that we've talked about. But maybe it's just human nature. It's on the rise. It seems to be on the rise worldwide in some sense. And the result of that is that nobody's listening to each other. Nobody's having a productive conversation. Nobody enters a conversation to learn anything. And nobody even enters each other's media silos to hear what other people are talking about. So that feels very destructive. And it does feel like it's definitely more right now than it's ever been in my lifetime before.
No, I think your point about nobody's listening is an important point because it worries me. It seems like we have a lot of major issues to deal with in this country, but we can't talk about them because everybody gets so offended or upset. You can't have a discussion about these things. At least it doesn't seem that way.
I think you're right. And that is exactly what Beyond Civility is aiming to at least try to make a difference with. We're trying to find ways to open people's minds to at least having that conversation. We're not trying to change minds. We really are trying to put people in a space where they can respect another opinion, an adverse opinion, not always agree with it, not change your mind even one iota, but at least be able to hear it maybe for the first time.
Have we lost a sense, Judge, of it's okay to disagree? I mean, when I was growing up as a kid, that was pretty much how most people seemed to view things. It was okay to have your disagreements, but I don't see that sense among people anymore.
I think that's right, and I don't know if it's a function of. Well, let me say this: I think that we can all recognize that as humans, we are generally not only tribal but also we're comfortable with like minds or in environments that we're used to, and so when we're introduced to something that's contrary to that like mind or that position, we tend to resist it. It's the resistance and the manner of resistance that causes the problem. One can resist violently by angrily responding, or one can resist by listening and politely saying, well, I don't necessarily agree with that. Or one can resist by simply ignoring it. It seems that in the heat of today, maybe it's global warming, but in the heat of today, people are more inclined to resist angrily than to simply resist by listening and saying, I disagree.
Yeah. Greg, should government have a role in dealing with this issue, do you think?
Let me answer it this way. Political correctness is one of the single most damaging aspects of what's going on today. Because what it does is it prevents us from having reasonable conversations, because the moment we try to have a reasonable conversation, we run the risk of being called something, whether it's a racist or a misogynist or a homophobic person or an Islamophobe or you name it, fill in the blank, whatever it is, we run the risk of being challenged or being labeled with those categories instead of being able to have reasonable conversations about these things. Does government have a role? I guess I would answer it by saying that yes, it does. However, it's very difficult for government to have a role when you have a an atmosphere throughout the country that prevents that from occurring. Because we no longer have, for example, we don't have moderate Republicans anymore. We don't have liberal Republicans like a Nelson Rockefeller. We don't have conservative Democrats anymore. We have Democrats on the left-hand side of the political spectrum. We have Republicans on the right-hand side of the spectrum.
You mean theoretically, because certainly you're aware that there are Democrats who have more of a conservative bent and some Republicans who would be considered more liberal in their thinking.
I don't disagree with that, and I welcome that kind of atmosphere. But compared to the way it was when I grew up, there's a distinct difference in the way that people perceive Republicans versus Democrats today than there was then.
Back to the role of government, that is one of these topics that people vehemently disagree about. So that is why we're addressing this as a topic in its own right. I think, to your point about political correctness, Greg, I do think that people tend to vilify people on the other side of an argument. And maybe that's new, maybe that's different. But I think that's what you're describing, is that even having a conversation, you risk feeling vilified or being vilified by the person you're debating with. It would be nice if we could have more open conversations, more open-minded conversations. And I agree, if that's preventing those conversations, that's a problem. As far as the role of government goes, I don't know that that government can fix this part for us. I don't know that it can make our debate more civil. We're hoping to make government more civil. We're hoping that we can teach and train enough people and have this conversation broadened enough that government and people in our government start to realize that being unproductive and shouting at each other and vilifying each other and insisting that everyone must pass litmus tests in order to be part of a political party, that it's just not working. I think we can all agree what we're doing right now isn't working very well. So we're hopeful that people will think of better ways to do it and that will involve more effective communication.
See, and I think that the role of government is to lead by example.
Mm-hmm.
When the general population sees that the leaders that they selected or elected are responding to each other in that way, I think it kind of gives an open door for those who elected them to also believe that this is the correct way or the proper way to respond. If government leading, not necessarily enacting policies or laws, but just by example, just by the public example that they engage, are more listening in their discourse and more, I'm going to say polite, but at least they give examples that are not hateful and vilifying, then I think that leading by example goes a long way to changing the ultimate culture.
Yeah. And Greg, as far as the government being involved, I mean, there's a fine line that has to be walked, I would assume. There have to be concerns about free speech rights and all of this.
I think Patty's really correct when she says that there is a huge divide and a big debate in this country about the role of government and just how intrusive government should be. And there are good people on both sides of that argument who have very good reasons for the way they feel. I think it's fair to say, though, if you ask the question, let me just put it in a context. If you ask the question, is health care for everyone a good thing? I think most people on the left and the right would say yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the debate is on how you accomplish that and the means that you use to accomplish that. And that's where the discussion breaks down.
It's in the details.
Because
right?
If you don't agree with my side of the argument, then you want babies to die. You know, you want to push grandma off the cliff. That's the conversation that goes on. And that's it's just not productive.
Yeah. Shuts down the conversation, I would think.
Absolutely.
As you were saying,
Patty. Yes. And I think even with the how of an issue like that, we are so divided. Our divisions keep us from having a productive conversation about how. I mean, I would hope that what we're all aiming for, especially in our government, is consensus. Having enough information and enough voices at the table and enough of an ability to be flexible, that we could get to consensus. After consensus, I guess I would hope for compromise. At least compromise, everybody gets a little something and something still gets done. I would say gridlock is at the bottom of that barrel. And unfortunately, that seems to be where we are. We can't have the conversation about how and have it productively enough to actually do anything. So I do think you're right, Greg. We need to figure out the hows and get to that conversation. And maybe that does agree that does require us to agree on some of those fundamental issues. Is healthcare a right? Should the government be involved in things like transportation? Should the government be trying to help things like global warming? I mean, there are so many issues where reasonable minds can disagree as to how the government should be involved, whether it will be effective if it is involved, and how to make things happen. So we need to get to that how conversation, and we haven't really got there yet.
How much do you think the media is to blame for this, Patty? I mean, because the divisions make for great ratings, great stories.
And the media gives people what works. The media gives people what's profitable. So I don't know if we can blame the media. We live in a First Amendment world where free speech and, speech is a product. And these people are producing profits through that product. I don't think we can count on the media to dial this back for us. I think we're going to have to, through our own choice as consumers, help the media see what works and what doesn't. And hopefully, at some point, we're going to realize that being this angry and this fearful and this divided just isn't working.
So is a lot of this going to be accomplished at the personal level, the individual level, do you think?
I think it has to come from every direction. I agree that government, through its example, should be acting as a leader in this arena. I think people, through their own examples for themselves, will hopefully start to realize that this level of anxiety just can't be sustained, and this level of fear isn't productive, and this level of anger isn't producing results. So I think maybe from every direction, we're going to have to come at this, and everyone just realize that we all need to take a breath and figure out a way to do this a little bit better.
Yeah, agreed. And you know, that point of reflection. Sometimes there are national or international events that stop and cause that point of reflection that then result in people thinking better about how to proceed. Perfect example, these hurricanes, these earthquakes that we're having. Those are points of reflection because though everything, it seems, goes on hold. The discourse goes on hold. The anger goes on hold. Everything that we're discussing that really is not at the core of our survival, at the core of whether or not we live and die, and the time that we lose with our loved ones who are not around anymore, stops. And that's what we focus on. And it's during those moments of reflection that we can use to build more of a relationship that will allow us to communicate better with each other.
Yeah, Greg, I want to get your thoughts.
It goes back to this idea of tribalism. You know, if we are united as a country, for example, after 9/11, we were united as a country. And there were no Democrats, there were no Republicans, there were no whatever, fill in the blank. We were united as a country. We're not. We're united perhaps as Democrats, we're united perhaps as Republicans, but not as a country. And Haidt talks about this. In fact, we're going to do a video during next week's program where he talks about this very concept. And he talks about the idea that the more you segregate yourselves into separate tribes, the more damage you actually do to yourself personally, and the more damage you do to the ability to move forward. And the more you can get across those barriers and look at things together, the more open people are to actually having a conversation and doing things that are positive.
You think it's possible to heal the divide and to move forward?
I think it's going to be very difficult to do, and there are lots of reasons for that. Without getting too deep into the weeds, if you look at the history of the country from a political standpoint and watch where we have come from since 1783 to now in terms of the role of government, I think everyone would agree has increased substantially. Now, there are good reasons and there are bad reasons, but there are lots of reasons for it, but there's no question it's increased substantially. And Patty talked about the idea of compromise. Well, what's happening in part is that the more the different parties try to pull one another to one side, one end of the spectrum to the other, and the more we've moved to the more government side of the spectrum, the more the other side is pulling back and saying, I'm not going to go there. It's impossible for me to compromise. Because I'm not going to let you go as far as you want to go. Because every time I compromise, we move the needle further and further toward an active, engaged government as opposed to self-reliance. And that's a real challenge. It would be a lot easier if we were having this conversation 100 years ago. But we're not. And the role of government today is much, much more pervasive than it was 100 years ago.
Yeah. Judge, what are your thoughts? Is it possible to heal this divide, to move forward?
I'll say this, as we say in court, anything's possible, but not everything is probable. So okay. Is it possible? Of course, because anything is possible. Is it probable? No, only because we do, at the end of the day, go back to our corners. And even though there are times where the earth slows down enough for us to come together, it's temporary because earth speeds back up. And once it speeds back up, an issue arises or the manner of reaching the ultimate conclusion has to be debated and the disagreements begin. So is it possible? Absolutely.
I'm just going to give a little spoiler alert or maybe a teaser for this show, program that we're having on the 27th.
Please do. Yeah.
And a little note of optimism, I hope. There are local civic leaders who also share this concern, the problem of civic and social polarization. And we might just hear from a few more of those on the program on the 27th. We're going to go through Jonathan Haidt's recipe for what might help us solve this. And we're going to get people's opinions as to how likely they think that is.
So this is on the 27th. Where is it at?
It is at the Mayerson JCC, and it is on the 27th with a reception beginning at 5:30. The panel starts at 6:30 and lasts till 8:30, and everyone is welcome, and it's free.
How many people are you expecting for this?
We're close to 300 people in reservations at the moment, so it should be a nice big group.
And where can people get information about this?
BeyondCivility.org. is the website, and you can sign up, make your reservation right there, and we hope to see you.
Okay. Thank you all for joining us this afternoon. Much appreciated.
Thank you, Mike.
Hamilton County Municipal Court Judge Fannin Rucker, Beyond Civility moderator Patty Foster, and attorney Greg Adams, who's a partner with Croswell and Adams.